Essentially, what we've looked at really is something we could call the house of the soul. The exercise is based upon the tree of life, and I'll and the thing that you get a lot in the kind of Western tradition is the use of templates that are forms that hold us and hold our attention within a particular structure. And if we go back to that original idea of the word a templum, which is a space that you measure out, that you circumscribe, within which something can happen, there's a sort of the point of templates is to create a container that enables us to focus our attention in a particular way. And the Tree of Life is one of the great templates. It's the image, as I said before, it's the image of the universe and the image of the human soul. And what we did really is to use that template so that the basement room represents Malkut, the sphere that's at the bottom, that's about embodiment, that's about earthiness. The boiler room is Yesod, it's about the treasure house of images, but it's also about life energy, and this is the moon center. The study is like the Sophia Hod, which is about the mind and all the things of the mind. The kind of the green room with the kind of plants and sort of is about the Netzach, the place of feeling. The contemplation chamber is Tiferet, this place just above the veil or in the veil. And then the doorway to mystery, which is the doorway to the garden where you find the curtain of the high priestess, is Da'at, this place of transition and mystery. Now that's the skeleton, that's a template, right? So I know I'm using that template, but that's the bare bones of a structure. In order for us to kind of work with that, the structure has to come to life. So what I literally did was to get present. So I was sitting just after the after the chant, and I already had some sense that I ought to use the house of life this morning. So then what I do in these things, I'm literally describing what I see. So I'm holding an intention to, and the thought of, okay, let's bring people into the house of life, house of the soul. So then I start to see a door. So then what happens is I just then start to describe. I've set up, if you like, by making the decision to use a particular template, I've created inside myself a shape that holds me. So I relax into that shape, but then the flesh and the blood and the life of that come out spontaneously from the kind of, like, the deeper parts of me, and they're sort of, in a sense, they're a kind of offering into the group field, so that as you engage with the template, it then takes life in your own particular way. And as we can see, just from the few people who have spoken, people having quite different experiences, different things are accented. Same overall template, but it's speaking back to us in quite a personal kind of way. Now, the usefulness of a template is that we can revisit it, we can use it again, and in a sense, this particular template of the House of the Soul is a very ancient one. It goes right back to ancient Egypt, where the idea of the Egyptian building what they call the House of Eternity. So they of course used to literally build that. I mean, their tombs were often places where they expected their spirit to live for forever, and through which their spirit would operate. So that's a more outward way of doing it, but they also had this inner practice of creating an internal kind of shape where that would enable them to connect with the deeper aspects of their own spirit. Now, the reason that we need shapes like that are because of these filters that we were talking about yesterday. Because what the shapes, what the templates help us to do is to work with these places that filter out a lot of our deeper experience. And the importance, really, of building them is that you can keep revisiting them and discovering new things at each time. Now, a particular thing that happens, particularly when you do it for the first time, is just noticing where your attention is attracted to. Where is the action somewhere, and where's the place that needs attention?
Is that the place that's neglected or the place that's calling you?
Could be either, couldn't it? Either or both. And it's really about having to trust your own intuition here, but where you... The usefulness of the kind of the form, the Tree of Life, is that it's a complicated business to really look into ourselves, because, in a sense, what we have created in our life experience is a sense of ourself that has predilections, that has things it likes to look at and things it doesn't like to look at, and that one of the judgments, you know, one of the judgments in this is sometimes you move towards, you follow the place that seems to call you, or the place that you might feel resistant and not want to go anywhere near. And the point of a form like the Tree of Life, because it has this kind of balanced kind of form where really we want to find a way to bring everything into a kind of sense of balance. So for example, if our kind of if we live very much in the world of feeling, and our feeling can overwhelms our thinking, we would have like a tree where we'd have a massive great sphere here and a very little one here. So the flows that would come through us would be imbalanced. So a lot could come through in feeling, but relatively little in terms of being able to think and reflect about something. So one of the usefulnesses of a template like this is we can look at ourselves and discover, where are there blocks in me? Where is it too much coming through? Where there's not enough coming through? And then you can use that as a way of being able to help ourselves adjust, find a different kind of balance.
Can I ask a question?
Of course, yes.
Can you superimpose this template onto your own body then?
It can work like that. So you can, you know, for example, you can, one of the ways they would have the image of the human being standing with their back to the tree, so your feet would be on the earth, literally. This sphere here would be in your pelvis and connected to movement and sexuality and what we might call the unconscious. We have the two sides of your body, the more kind of rational side on the right, the more intuitive side of the left. That would be more or less heart. Here would be your shoulders and arms, really, and the capacity to receive and to give. And here would be the hemispheres of the brain. That's more or less the throat connection between the head and the rest of the body. And here they have this image of it being slightly above the crown of your being above, and it is also, of course, the crown that is the root. You can actually turn the whole thing on its head as well, right, and flip it over. So it's but yeah, that's also one of the things you can do with this template.
So if you had a particular issue with one part of your body that corresponded to that place on the tree,
yeah,
would you infer from that that's where you need to work?
It could, yeah, it certainly could do. And so if you had, you know, so let's say you let's say you're having heart palpitations or pain in some part of your body, you might get curious about that and you might well relate that to one of the spheres of the tree and see what you can discover about yourself in relationship to that. Yeah, certainly possible to do that. Did you have a particular part of the body in mind, or something, or are you thinking more generally?
Well, Well, yeah, I have lots of issues around the solar plexus over here and acid reflux and also and things like that. So I was just kind of interested.
In terms of the way that we understood in the tree, so that heart center of the tree is really about maintaining balance and maintaining kind of a flow that goes in the right kind of direction. So if you were kind of looking into something like the pain reflux, acid going where it shouldn't, we would also get interested in that integrating function of the inside you and having the balance right between maybe yourself and others, or how much you take in, as opposed, possibly the taking in too much, and not having enough of a filter. It would be that kind of, who knows, right? But it would be that kind of territory that you'd get interested in, because if we haven't got all the paths in here, but this particular sphere is the great linking sphere. So it's the place. So if there was a lot of trouble there, it would suggest that needs reinforcing in some way and balancing, so that things remain in their right place and don't overflow and don't back up. It's something like that. Yeah. Now this is an example, I suppose, the House of the Soul is an example of a kind of a big template, right? So there's lots and lots of different images and ideas connected with this. I mean, that, so that whole idea, so we've got these 10 kind of archetypal shapes, really, that can be loosely connected to the idea of the planets and the stars. And then we have these connecting paths that are related to the tarot trumps. So there's a, if you like, a huge amount of possibility for investigation here. And in fact, when I was trained by Ernest Butler so many years ago, what he used to get us to do was to, we used to, his version of the House of the Soul was a castle. So you, again, he also got us to link up with working with the Arthurian archetype. So our beginning place would be the room of Tiferet, which was which was envisaged as a great hall with a round table in it, and then there were, a spiral staircase that goes all a bit like the staircase in the house we've just looked at, that goes up along these layers and down into the basement. And then paths going off to other chambers, and each of which had a tarot card connecting to them. Now it's a complicated, I mean, that's quite a complex image, and obviously you built it up little by little. But the point of doing it was to create a sort of a meta image through which you could investigate aspects of your own experience. And I mean, it doesn't have to be anything as dramatic as a castle. In some ways, it's quite interesting sometimes to see what kind of a house we what kind of architecture and what sort of shape does it have. And in this particular instance, because we're looking at these kind of three steps of the fool, what I was looking at, really looking at, is that kind of movement here into the embodiment and experience of the inner universe, which is this bit. Then the stepping into presence, which is the room of contemplation, and then the third step of stepping into mystery and stepping into the garden. So this particular version of the House of Life is connected to those, to really applying ourselves to those three steps. But the key idea behind a lot of this idea is this notion of the template, the templum. So we could just get embodied and sit, right, and sit in silence and sit, and which is a great practice. Nothing wrong with that practice at all. It's a very, But the particular method of Western tradition has been to use form to focus attention. And in some ways it's got a lot of similarities with Tibetan Buddhism, which also does the same thing. You know, that's why you have all these elaborate mandalas. It's the same kind of idea, that you're using the capacity of the will and the imagination to focus attention on particular aspects of our experience. And one of the key ideas behind it, really, it goes back to a very old Egyptian idea, which is something called ma'at, which is to create dynamic balance. Now, the idea of ma'at in Egyptian tradition is that the world depends upon a very fine balance. It's very interesting. Egyptians really understood this, because their whole society really was based upon the inundation of the Nile not being too little, not being too much. Because in times when the inundation of the Nile floods the whole valley, if there's too much, it actually, so the water hangs around too long, rots, and you get a sort of a bad year. Similarly, if there's too little, there's not enough inundation, and the fertility of the land really suffers. So one of the key things the Egyptians really worked out right from the beginning is that dynamic balance is important, and they have this idea of Ma'at, which is this often shown as a goddess with a feather coming out of her head, and it's the feather of Ma'at, and it's that in the famous weighing of the soul tradition you have in Egypt, our hearts are weighed against this feather, which is the feather of truth and balance. Have we been able to create balance? And even the idea of the weighing of the soul is again about the difference between balance and imbalance. So the opposite of Ma'at is something called Isfet. And Isfet is the world out of balance, where because there is not therefore proper colloquy and interchange between opposites, things start to get destroyed. The big thing in Egyptian tradition, you have this conflict between the serpent Apep and the sun god Ra, who Ra is trying to establish the right order of things, a dynamic, balanced order, whereas the serpent Apep is trying to reduce everything into a chaos within which nothing can prosper. So one of the root ideas of looking at this and looking at working with our body and imagination in this way is to find a sense of dynamic balance in our bodies, in our hearts, and in our spirits. So that we ourselves then become a generative center of that kind of dynamic order. That we're not overformed, but we're not over fluid. So the sense of the middle pillar, the sense of being connected to the earth, balanced, and having a sense of our life energy as our foundation, having a sense of presence that can balance opposites, and having access to something that is mysterious, that continually renews us and makes us new, is really what the work is all about. And the problem, of course, is that we have that when we start to apply ourselves, what we discover is that our systems are not in balance. In fact, what we have done is to create, if you like, a standing wave that is our shape, that is really inclined in one direction and not another. So that because that standing wave, in a sense, interferes with whatever comes in at it from inside and outside, it tries to assimilate our experience into that standing wave. So and that's why, in a way, this work is deconstructive, because as you work on this, you start to free up the habitual fixated shapes, and then free energy starts to flow into the system, which initially is experienced as chaos and disturbance, because it's free energy moving. And until you find a new place of balance. In a sense, what happened with me and Faye just then was Faye was in touching into a new place, a known place, but touching into something very strong. And then fear, and it hadn't somehow been able to find its way into a sense of kind of grounded balance. So it was unfinished and unsettled and leaving you in a bit of a spiral of sadness. So as we kind of just engaged with that and found, okay, what needs to happen here? Okay, let's come down and in. Then it finds new balance and something else starts to happen. You start to feel a bit more still and a bit happier. Yeah, so that's kind of the process that happens. And in a way, what a lot of the work involves is transforming old and stuck and disturbing energies that once might have served us, but now no longer serve us. So let's have a break for a cup of tea, and then we'll come back to this idea of transforming the unloved and unlovable.